We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. And by the way, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button. We're trying to put out more content on YouTube, more stuff than just on the pod feed. So make sure to hit subscribe. Talk shit to us in the mentions. I don't care. So have some fun with it. But anyway, presented by Prize Picks. Welcome to Light Years. I got a special guest sitting in for Andy today. I got my guy from Cron 4. Jason Dumas. Jason, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Glad to pinch hit for my guy, Andy. enjoying it. It was, you know, a nice weekend here in the Bay. Got some good weather.
I think he's out of the Bay right now. He's in parts unknown. He's kind of like Klay Thompson. Just like as soon as the season ends, he just, you know, I don't know. You may find him. You may not. And Andy. Andy will be back next episode. It's officially spring. In the Bay. Yeah. That's like my it's been weird watching the playoffs and not seeing the Warriors in it. Obviously, they've been in it for the better part of the last 10 years all the way to June. And I've been kind of bitter about it. And then it's 75 and beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, I'm over it. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you get used to working through June, at least for me and what I do. And now, obviously, I mean, we cover the Giants now and stuff. We're pivoting to baseball, but a lot of more time on my hands that I usually don't. And I'm not even complaining about it. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah. You actually had a tweet. I'm going to put it up here right now. It was a week ago. It was right about when they got eliminated. You said, and I'm putting it on this is me delaying my screen share. You said, why did this year mark the end of the dynasty, but not last year? Such dramatic takes.
Do I think
the Warriors can win it all again with Dre and Klay as second option, third best player? No. But Steph could still play at a high level, and one big acquisition can get them back in contention. Now, generally, I agree with you, but I'm going to give you the floor on this one. Wait, where was your head at when you're talking here?
I was reading all the headlines, you know, I was seeing all the viral clips on social media from, you know, the Embrace Debate shows, which are generally stupid anyway. But, you know, it's just like, oh, the Warriors, the dynasty is over. It's like, I mean, there was really no difference at the end of this year from the end of last year. It's kind of more or less the same thing. Warriors had a better record this year. Their team this year was better than last year, honestly. I mean, what does that get you? Not much, but I just, you know, like this team can retool and try to figure something out and get back in the mix, because really this past season is Denver and Minnesota and then everyone else, in my opinion, at least in the Western Conference. Like, yeah. Yes, the Warriors missed the playoffs. But the Warriors, more or less in the same tier as the Dallases, the Clippers, like
Suns.
Yeah. Suns. It was just a numbers game, really. So if the Warriors had made a playoff series and then like gone seven with with the Clippers or something, would the dynasty be over then? Is it just because this arbitrary like notion because they lost a one game playoff to Sacramento, all of a sudden the dynasty is over? Hey, I don't see it that way. I think, like I said in that tweet, they get a big acquisition, which obviously is a little easier said than done. Like these moves that you have to make aren't easy necessarily. I mean, it's not easy in general contending for championships. I mean, that's hard. But I didn't get all the doom and gloom. And, yeah, I guess it made for good radio and talk.
I'm with you. I guess my question, because I think everyone's aligned. You add another impact player next to Steph, and then you see where you're really at. Because to your point, like, they were in three games out of like the five seed, you know, like there's not really that much separation between 5 and 10, you know, little health luck, couple breaks here or there. And when you look at all those teams in the West,
it's like hit people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like all that sort of stuff, you know, and it's like, and you look at all the teams ahead of them. It's like, all right, Dallas has two stars. They got Luka and Kyrie. Phoenix obviously has three stars. Lakers have two superstars. Pelicans have two. Like, we can go down the list here. And then you look at the Warriors, and the only thing I really took from the season was like the days of Klay being a star are over. Like, anyone who wanted to pretend that was still a thing, like, the book is shut on that chapter of his career, which is fine. It happens.
The guy's like, what? He's like, what, like 34 years old?
Yeah, with 34 two surgically repaired legs. Like, he's honestly, like, probably more like 36, 37 when you factor that stuff in, right?
Right, so, right. 100%.
What I wanted to ask you, though, because this is where everyone's opinion differs. How big of an acquisition are we talking? Because some people can talk themselves into, all right, you had like a fringe all-star, like what Jordan Poole was, and they're back, you know? And other people are like, unless they get Giannis, it's fucking over, you know? So it's like, and my honest feeling is probably somewhere in between. But like, give me kind of like the caliber of player who would turn your head to be like, okay, I don't know if they're going to be better than Denver or Minnesota, but they're officially back in the mix, and let's see what happens.
I think it's a player who has to be like pretty much the best on the team. Steph, obviously, like,
okay.
Yeah, like someone like Paul George, you know what I mean? Like, okay. they need a bona fide guy who can go out and score 30 whenever he wants. So, and like I said, it's easier said than done. Like, I'm not just expecting Mike Dunleavy to snap his fingers and boom, he has some superstar in the building. Sure. So it's tough. And but I mean, that's why he gets paid big bucks. That's why he has the job he has now. It's a hard job. It's a coveted job. So you're going to have high expectations, especially with this franchise that has had so much recent success over the last decade or so. So, you know, I think it's a high caliber player who could be a 1A, 1B type thing and with Steph. And I think that's a guy like Paul George. I know Paul George, he's getting up there in age, and I know he has his injury history, but
he had a great game today, though.
Oh man, he looked so good. So that's like you need something like that, man. Like, you look at all these teams, every team in the NBA that is contending status has two stars.
Yeah.
You got Denver, obviously. You got Jokic and Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is probably, in my opinion, like the most underrated player in basketball, just based off like he doesn't make all-star games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's good. He's really good. Nobody ever doubts that. Obviously, you got the Celtics with Tatum and Brown, and now you got Minnesota with Karl-Anthony Towns and then you also have like one of the best defensive players in the league with Rudy Gobert. You need more firepower than Steph, Dre, and Clay.
Jaden McDaniels looks better than Gobert.
He's really, really good too. So it's just like you need another guy. You need another guy. You're not going to win high-level games with Clay as your second-best player, which he pretty much was this year, no? Like, I mean, I guess Draymond.
He was the second option on offense. Like,
yeah, second option on offense. You're not going to win games like that. Defense, Draymond obviously was a difference maker. You know, conceivably, you think Wiggins would fall into that role, but he fell off a cliff this year. He had his worst year. He had his worst year on the court, and he's unreliable. So it's like,
I also like anyone who's holding on to that hope. Like it's just not who he is.
No,
he's like best when he's a third, fourth option where he can float, and then randomly you're like, oh shit, what did Wiggins just do? You know, it's right. Just who he is. It's
right. That year, 21 was an anomaly.
Yeah, we've watched him for a decade in the NBA. Right. He's always been kind of this guy. If he's your first or second option, you kind of suck. And if he's your third, fourth option, where like the only thing you ask him is to defend, and then whatever he does offensively, like that's cool. You know, right. You're gonna get a lot of like 10-point nights, and then randomly get 25, that type of thing. So yeah. It's kind of who he is. Would you have – so you mentioned Paul George, like that's the level. In my mind, it's basically – it's got to be someone who would make an all-star team without Steph setting screens for them. Like that's the level of player I want. Someone who, like, in a construct outside of the Warriors is an all-star, not someone who they, like, smoke and mirrors to all-star. Would you have done Pascal Siakam? Because the Pacers just finished. We're obviously recording this. Right. Sunday, kind of before the Wolves game or during the beginning of it. And we know that was on the table. We know that was discussed. We'll put it that way. Like, would you have – is he good – would he have been good enough for you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think he's as good as Paul George, but he moves the needle for sure. And I'm at the point where you just need to do something. Like, yes. the last 2 years – is something has got to give. So even if the Warriors make that move and it doesn't work out, I'm going to give Mike Dunleavy credit for going for it. You know, sometimes things don't work out, but like, you know, what you have now is not enough. Like, you know it. So you got to do something. And I mean, look, Steph Curry's window is closing. Like, I'm not saying the guy's going to fall off a cliff tomorrow, but he's closer to the end than the front. Sure. And you just got to take advantage of that while you have him on your roster. And when you have him able to score 25 plus per game every night, like you need to, when you have that type of talent on your team in one player, you need to have him in position to win championships. You just do. So, yeah, I would have done that Siakam trade for sure. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what's out there. The Bucks are kind of falling off a cliff. I'm wondering if that team might get reshuffled. You know, you never know. You know,
right.
We still got like almost two more months of NBA basketball left, and a lot can happen between now and then. But Mike definitely shouldn't be sitting on his feet this offseason, you know, and they got to consolidate that roster. There's just – or just have too many guys who are just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where they're at. It's like, it's nice to have 12 playable guys, but also it's like you only have one like true guy. You right. know, everyone else is just kind of like, pick your flavor. Do you want GP2's defense, or do you want Pods' passing, or do you want
Chris Paul's like, you know, professionalism?
And sure.
It's like
clay shooting, whatever. Yeah,
pick your none of them like are really moving the needle all that.
No, none of them are dynamic enough. So it's like they got to figure that out going into the offseason. I'm kind of – I don't want to say I'm optimistic about their direction, but it's like they just made us watch 164 – two seasons of this. Two seasons.
The last 2 years have been like the most boring team to cover. I mean, you got
– Yes.
You got the Draymond stuff, which is like kind of juicy, but that's also like kind of annoying covering that type of stuff. It's like – like doom and gloom type stuff, and like then you start finding yourself like having to like report on a man's like personality and like who he is as a person. That's not really like that's not what I want to do. I'm not a psychiatrist, but they've just been painfully boring because they're just in the middle. Like I would rather them just flattened out and going rock bottom, at least it would have been more interesting to cover than just, oh yeah, they're going to win three in a row, then they're going to lose two, then they're going to win another four, then they're going to lose three. For the last 2 years, that's what it's been like.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as four correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA or NHL playoffs on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks, submit my entries, and in less than 60 seconds, boom. Last week, I played Anthony Davis, Jokic, kind of parlay on the Lakers-Nuggets game too, and I won big. PrizePicks great, honestly, for me, because I have no rooting interest left in the playoffs. Warriors are out. I might as well have some fun with it and say, hey, is Anthony Davis going to score more or less than 28 points tonight? What am I feeling? All right, let's parlay that with is Jokic going to get 8 assists, more or less? Boom. Now I got something to watch other than hating on the Lakers. So, you know, that's where we're at right now. Download the app and use the promo code LightYears for your first deposit match up to $100. That's right. You put $100 in, PrizePicks will give you free $100 with the promo code LightYears. Have some fun with it the rest of the way. I'm also here to tell you about Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or the EES system. If you haven't heard of the EES system yet, you'll want to listen up. This is technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in trying the EES system by yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more. That's UNIFYD healing.com/lightyears. All right. So you're kind of saying the Warriors have been boring the last couple of years. I agree with you. I think anyone who's honest with themselves would say the last 2 years are boring. You know, we've all got suckered in. We all watched Moses Moody hit three threes. We're like, is this it? You know, and then he gets back to the bench, whatever it may be. And I can't help but kind of watch the Wolves right now. You know, they're going to beat the Suns, whether it's a sweep or a five-game series. I feel pretty confident in that one. They look fucking phenomenal. Ant looks like the next face of the league. But what makes them like kind of a juggernaut to me is guys like Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, N'Keal, Alexander Walker. Like those dudes developing is the difference between them being like a nice team where Ant and Kat are kind of carrying the load and them being a potential juggernaut. And I just like wonder, like, I guess, where's your head at with like Warriors development? Because we've talked a lot about how, you know, the two timeline thing hasn't really worked out. Maybe they made the wrong picks. They should have traded the picks. If they kept the picks, they should have drafted LaMelo or Franz Wagner. It doesn't really matter. But all this is like, there is the other side to it, which is, I don't really know how good the Warriors are at developing players relative to some of these other teams.
No, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? You know, you got Moses Moody and you got Jonathan Kuminga. Those are the two developmental guys, I guess, on the roster right now. I guess, you know, Pods and TJD, they're young, though, so we haven't really gotten a chance to see how they will develop. But Moses and JK came along this year, but Moses is still, you know, getting DMPs one day, starting the next day. You just never know. I mean, I guess Jordan Poole was a pretty good case study. He came along and he helped them win a championship. But he fell off a cliff after, you know, that incident with Draymond Green, which, you know, you put one of your young guys in harm's way, and that happened on the Warriors' watch. So that's obviously a black eye to Jordan Poole's development as a player. And now he's in Washington, and he's never really been the same, really, since all that happened a couple years ago. So, I mean, I would probably give them like a C- in terms of development. Like, Kuminga had a good year this year. He's still, like, even though I like him as a prospect, as a player, he still leaves a little to be desired. Like, I'm not sure you're winning like high level playoff games with him like as a main focal point or like one of those guys. Like I trust Jaden McDaniels way more than a guy like Jonathan Kuminga. Even though if you probably just look at their stats, Jonathan Kuminga might have better stats. I would have to like compare them, but just, you know, a guy like McDaniels, he is not going to make wrong rotations. He is not going to be giving up easy buckets. He is going to do exactly what he's told. No wasted movements. And, you know, I'm not sure we see Kuminga doing that at that level in a playoff setting.
And that's like the question that's always fun to debate. Is it an issue of coaching or is it just kind of like scouting? Like JK is just on a different timeline. He's kind of where he should be at this stage in his career. And, you know, if you're expecting more from him, you should be mad at the Warriors for drafting a kid who was that young and that raw at that age, you know?
Right.
I don't know where I come out on it. Like my honest answer is it's probably a little bit of both, probably a little bit of both, you know? I would, you know, drafting the Ross player in the draft when you have like Steph in a win now window, probably a bad decision. But at the same time, I haven't been particularly impressed with the Warriors' ability to develop guys either. You know, it feels like a lot of kind of like ringing guys around the whole thing. So I don't know.
We're talking about Anthony Edwards. A lot of this stuff is luck too. Like the Warriors Warriors had an awful record. The pool balls didn't bounce their way, and they end up with James Wiseman instead of a guy like Anthony Edwards. And
yeah.
We're having a completely different conversation, obviously. There's probably no more Klay Thompson here if they have Anthony Edwards right now. And, you know, it's just it looks like they hit on their picks this past season with Pods and TJD. Both of them were very, very good value picks from where they drafted. And they both look like guys who can be rotational NBA players for the next decade. So, I mean, give Mike some credit there. And he's going into his second draft. What do the Warriors have? What pick do they have this year? Like
52.
Right. Because it goes away to Portland, right? Unless it's top four.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm already assuming they're giving that to Portland. So, right. Yeah. In all likelihood, Portland's getting 13th pick, something like that.
Kind of a weak draft, though.
Yeah.
If you're not going to have a first-round pick, this is the year.
They have a second-round pick. They might actually be able to find another trace. Like, just because it's – I think if there's anything that's in this draft, there's a lot of, like, 3-4-year college players who might be role players in the NBA. So, like, this is a terrible draft if you're a bad team and you're looking for that next face of your franchise. You're like –
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're about to get fired taking like some of these guys at the top of the draft, right?
Yeah. Like those two kids on Kentucky are like getting mocked like third and fourth overall. I'm like,
dude, in a normal draft, what pick do Dillingham and Reed Sheppard go? They're like they're picked in like the Pajemski range, honestly, right?
100%. 100%.
And yeah, I'm seeing mock drafts where it's like fourth pick. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
You're taking a guy who's probably a third guard in the NBA, you know, like that sort of thing. That's rough.
Mm-hmm. It's a rough draft for sure.
Not my problem anyway. You shouldn't have to worry about when you buy tickets for your next big event. Game Time is fast and easy to buy tickets to all sports, music, comedy, and theater events. Earlier this year, I wanted to see Ant Edwards in person. I wanted to see if the hype lived up to it. And so I got tickets, and I got great tickets, and I was super excited. And I get to my seat, and I see Draymond choking out Rudy Gobert. So that was kind of a weird game to go to, but I waited till the last minute, and I found a great deal on Game Time, and I wasn't pretty upset. It was also kind of Pajemski's coming out party that way. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy it so you know exactly what to expect before you arrive. Take a guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the promo code LightYears for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Download the app, create an account, promo code LightYears, free tickets. Honestly, $20 will get you two tickets to a Giants game. So literally download the app, use the promo code, go to a Giants game for free. Who did you have winning the championship before the playoffs started?
The Nuggets.
Are you in any way deviating from that perspective right now? Like we're basically game four of every series. It's pretty early on.
No, but Minnesota has pleasantly surprised me. They look dominant. And it looks like we can get a Minnesota-Denver seven-game series. Honestly, after watching the first four games of the first round, if Minnesota makes a run to the NBA Finals, I wouldn't be shocked. That's how good they look. Their role players are playing really well. They defend, like, every possession is, like, just a grinded-out battle trying to score on them. They don't have the firepower offensively, so they'll flame out. But I've also been very, very impressed with the Knicks' defense. That team, too, is like, I don't even think the Sixers are playing all that bad. The Knicks are just pit bulls. They make you work every single possession. So I've been really impressed with the Knicks defensively. I saw viral clips today at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. Made me want to throw up. Knicks
fans. All the Knicks fans?
Dude, going nuts in Philly. I've never seen anything like that. Never in my life. People just taking over a stadium in Philadelphia. It's quite embarrassing. I'm not even going to lie.
How angry is the family group chat? For those who don't know, Jason's from Philly. So
my dad is one of those guys. As soon as his team starts losing, he turns it off. So I call him in the third quarter. He's like, I'm not even watching that shit. Not even watching it. I turned it off. And then, you know, my mom, typical mom, she's like, yeah, it's so heartbreaking. So, you know, I was kind of with me and the Sixers, it was kind of house money this year. I wasn't expecting all that much. Then when Embiid came back with like eight games left and they won like eight in a row and they look good, I was like, they don't have any pressure on them. They're a seven seed. Embiid's back. When he was healthy, they were like
that good. Yeah.
They might make a run. And man, they just ran into a team. The Knicks just like play harder than them and clearly like want it more. It sounds cliche, but that's what pops out to me, you know?
That's kind of – I feel like that's what Steve wanted his team to be when he plays all these little guys, like little pit bulls jumping. And it's like, yeah, but the difference is they're all like 25. Mm-hmm. Your guys are 39. You know, you got Chris Paul. You're asking Chris Paul to be Deuce McBride, and it's just not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. They are – it's fun. I'm sure you feel differently because you've been subjected to them, but for those of us who don't get subjected to the Knicks fans that often, seeing them like and they've sucked for the last 25 years, like basically every year, right?
So it's that's their team too. I know most cities, you know, especially major markets, they're football cities. Warriors is kind of an exception because of the success they've had, but the general rule of thumb in these big major markets, they're football cities, but not New York. New York is a basketball city. Like when the Knicks are good, that garden is rocking. Everybody's walking around wearing their Knicks apparel. And Giants, you know, they love them, but it's a basketball town. So you can see that. And I mean, you can also see that they've been starved for this because they're just coming down. They're hopping on 95, making a 90-minute drive, or hopping on Amtrak, and they're coming to Philly for these games. And it's such a simple ride. So, you know, I think the Sixers are more like, we've been here before. Like the fan base, I'm saying, we've been here before. We've seen our team losing the second round, like literally like seven straight seasons. So, I think they're kind of just fatigued. They're Sixer fatigued. So it's kind of the perfect storm as to why you're seeing the Knicks fans just infiltrate Philly so apparently.
You know, the one team you didn't mention as a who you think will win the title is the Celtics.
Yeah, I don't. They haven't impressed me. They haven't even impressed me. Like right now, if I was to do my own betting odds, I would have them third. I would have the Timberwolves and the Nuggets in front of them.
Yeah, like basically their best chance is those teams wear each other out, and then they finally get the easy match. I think I'm with you on that one. I don't know what to make of Denver. Obviously, they're up 3-1 on the Lakers. They're probably going to close them out. And when it's come down to crunch time, they've done what they have to do. But, like, Jokic looks amazing. Their defense looks really good. Jamal Murray at some point has to hit some shots, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that'll come around. Maybe that sucks for Minnesota. Maybe in Minnesota he's going to just like regress to a mean and just fucking go flamethrower on them. But
right. I mean, that the Nuggets, like the Lakers are pretty good. I just think it's just a bad draw for the Lakers. They got unlucky that they had to play the Nuggets in the first round. And it was kind of the same thing last year. Like, it's going to probably be a gentleman's sweep, but like the Nuggets had to work for it. It was like pretty much every game has been pretty competitive. And it reminds me of certain series, like back in the day growing up, I remember Sixers always used to get stuck playing like the Pistons, like the Billups Pistons with Larry Brown. And they would always lose in like 5 or 6, but every single game would like come down to the last possession. So it was like, even though it was a quick series, it didn't feel like it because every game was super competitive. And that's just kind of just what's going on with the Lakers right now. Like I think they're a solid team. Obviously, they're kind of like the Warriors in the sense like they got to make a move if they want to retain LeBron and like have him win actual championships again, because he's getting old. He's old as dirt. He's 39 years old. So, you know, you never know what happens. Maybe I'll be covering that guy next year.
Maybe. What are the odds LeBron's a Warrior next year? What's your
I would put it at like 25%.
Oh, that's higher than I thought. I thought you were going to say like 5.
No, they really talked about it. You know, obviously LeBron downplayed it. He said, "Oh, I didn't even hear about that." He was lying, obviously.
Oh, shocker.
It came up. It was a conversation, and it's going to be another conversation this summer. Whether they move on it and legitimize it is a different story, but it's going to be another topic this season. Steph and LeBron will be with each other in Paris with Steve right there in Paris for a couple weeks.
Oh, what time does camp open? Let's see. Now I got Team USA camp watch.
It'll be interesting. Then you got to see what's up with Bronny. Like there's certain pathways to acquiring LeBron James. Obviously first he has to be open to doing it, but you know, I think at this point in both of their careers, Steph and LeBron, I think they're open to trying new stuff. You know what I mean? They've pretty much done everything already. Let's try to play with each other. You know what I mean?
I think so. I was super anti the idea at first because I'm like, ah, come on, man. I don't want to go down that road. And then and that was like in February. And I think I just got broke. I'm like, man, I'd rather watch that go up in flames because it didn't work than them run this back one more time. You know what I'm saying? Like
100%.
Like, so I was like, if they can get him, do it. Like I'm over. Cause like in my head, I was like, what if they get someone else and Steph wins number 5 and that could be a whole thing. And then, you know, reality comes to, I'm like, I don't really care. I can't watch another season of whatever the fuck this was.
So. No, it was just, like I said, the season was so boring. So boring. I was ready for it to be over.
It was the same thing over and over again. All right, Jason, appreciate you hopping on.
Of course.
As always.
Always happy to go.